You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, prolefpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for May 17th, 2019. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where our Chinese soybean tariff welfare check is apparently still in the mail, it's The Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
Yeah, we are waiting for that tariff check, along with a lot of other people, apparently.
Every day, you know, I'm sure it's caught in the U.S. mail, along with our Soros check and our check from Carl Reiner. And our check from the various liberal podcast networks that want to, you know, promote us and prop us up and keep us going.
Sure.
There's just a lot of backlog in the mail, I'm figuring. You know, it's not really anyone's fault except ours.
Hey Driftglass, I want to thank my family for a lovely Mother's Day. I got very nice cards. I got a very relaxing day. And the girls gave me a little journal. And youngest child's card was signed, "I love you more than Donald Trump loves to lie," and that's saying something. So we've raised her right.
We have.
And so I thank you. I had a lovely day.
I took a picture of the brunch.
Yeah.
If anyone's interested, I will share with the rest of the podcast listeners.
Made a beautiful omelet and roasted potatoes and toast and oranges and tomatoes.
Just so you all know what you're missing. Mm-hmm.
It was lovely. So. And you did all the cooking that day. So thank you so much.
Well, it's Mother's Day. Got to do that.
Right.
Yeah, it was a busy day. We went to church, and then we had our liberal cult gathering in the corner of the church where we talked about overthrowing the government, and then came home and made brunch.
So thank you for that.
So mm-hmm.
Today, it's been another rough week, particularly on the abortion issue. I think that's where we're going to start. Let's remember that Hillary Clinton's defense of women's reproductive rights throughout the 2016 campaign was unequivocal, and that she said that it was about the Supreme Court, and she said that this could be a problem, and here we are.
She said there was Russian interference, and she said they were spying, and she said Donald Trump was lying to you, and she was right about a lot of things. And I got to say, it is hard for me to continue to interact with people in the news who knew better and who still played that old false equivalence drum all throughout the election, all throughout 2015, all throughout 2016. And once Donald Trump had been elected, were like, "Oh, let's not dwell on the past. Let's look towards tomorrow. Look towards the future. Maybe it'll work out fine." And now that it's all come true, now that all the shit we warned about has come to pass in spades, now those same people are talking about the perils of false equivalence. And isn't it a shame? And I agree with them, which is why I think they should be removed forcefully from the news ecosystem. Because they can't be trusted.
Right.
They will never come clean about the way they destroyed their profession. They will never come clean about the lies they told. They will never admit what they did or said. They will block anyone who points out what they did and said. And unless, just like any other puppy, unless you rub their nose in their shit, they will never learn. And by the way, I know that's not exactly how you raise a puppy. I've raised dogs before. But with people in the Beltway media, it is absolutely true that unless you grab them by the scruff of the neck right away and rub their little noses in their shit and say, "Matthew Dowd, remember all the shit you said about both sides do it?" And you said it over and over and over again.
Well, then they block you. They block you and go to lunch, you know, so. Yeah.
And then they come back 6 months later and everything we warned them about has come true. And they pretend they never said what they said or did what they did or whatever.
And they pretend that they've discovered the truth that, that both sides don't. Yes, right.
And then they write best-selling books about how Donald Trump is a racist. And isn't that amazing? And nobody knew Republican Party was full of Republicans. And that's the part I cannot forgive, because they have not learned anything. If you've made a really bad mistake, and Lord knows I have made really bad mistakes in my life, you learn something from it, or you keep repeating the same mistake. And the history of the last 40 years of politics in America is the history of the media and conservatives, and frankly, a lot of liberals making the same fucking mistakes over and over and over and over again. And it's exhausting, because it's like watching the same stupid show over and over again. Eventually, you know all the beats, you know where it's going, you know what's going to happen next. And it's really hard not to just check out and say, well, this is obviously in the hands of other people who don't give a shit about me, don't give a shit about my family, don't give a shit about this country. This is just all entertainment to them. And they're going to play this out however they're going to play it out, irrespective of the damage they do. And it is really, really important. And now I'm talking to the larger, bigger podcasts and bigger media outlets on the left with large fists and large claws and big teeth and big reach. It's up to you, because they'll never listen to us. It's up to you to grab Chuck Todd by the scruff of his little neck and rub his nose in the shit he does. And because unless we do that, we're going to be right back here in 4 years or 8 years talking about what a shame it is that President Sean Hannity has declared math to be, you know, illegal.
I want you to tell your analogy about humming.
We were talking about this last night. It felt for years like I was humming the Both Sides anthem, like I was humming Handel's Messiah all alone in the alley at night. Nobody around, nothing but the echo of my own really bad singing voice. And now on social media, sometimes it really does feel like the entire auditorium is singing along.
Yeah, I think the entire auditorium on Twitter is singing along, that they are calling out this Both Siders nonsense. Because they realize both sides don't. This is what I'm grateful for this week, frankly.
Exactly.
I'm grateful that the Republican Party is radicalizing middle-class white women.
Yeah.
And I wrote about this 7 years ago.
Well, do you have that on hand? Could you?
I do. I wrote a very long post about the radicalizing of white middle-class women back in 2007. In January of 2007, you may remember, the Susan Komen Foundation decided to defund cancer screenings for Planned Parenthood at Planned Parenthood clinics. And they did that because they were under pressure from right-wing women who, you know, loved Komen and loved the pink ribbon and wanted to be holding pink ribbon parties, but didn't want anything to do with reproductive rights. And this caused a real break and a real conversation in terms of women and women's rights and what women's health is all about. And what was discovered pretty quickly is that, no, you don't get to turn off funding for Planned Parenthood. That's where my daughter got her breast cancer screening. Mm-hmm. That's where I found out I had breast cancer. That's where I go for my birth control. And it turned out Komen made a really big mistake.
Yeah.
PR mistake by going after Planned Parenthood. And the person who pointed out this kind of existing Cold War, it wasn't even a Cold War. It was just sort of a static understanding that we will tolerate each other between Komen and Planned Parenthood was Melissa Harris Perry. And she said, you know, really, it's about class, because a whole lot of the women in Komen are that are fundraising for Komen, and particularly the corporations that are happy to put pink ribbons on things in order to say they're down with women's health care and that they're feminist. You know, the NFL wearing pink football shoes right at the time when there's a huge domestic violence issue going on at the NFL. We're not going to do a whole thing on NFL and domestic violence. No, we're all going to wear pink ribbons on our jerseys, you know, and that's going to show that we're pro women.
We're virtue signaling.
Right. Exactly.
Yes.
And when you see that Virginia Slims has a pink thing about women and choice, it's about smoking.
Yeah.
You know, and these companies that sell carcinogenic products pretending that they're down with feminine choice, right?
You've come a long way, zygote. So.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So at the time in 2007, Chris Hayes, this was back at our old haunting ground, Up with Chris Hayes on Saturday morning when we get up early and watch Chris Hayes. And we do miss that show.
I still have the cup.
We still have the coffee cups. That's right. Mm-hmm. He had on four women to talk about this Komen situation, the Komen versus Planned Parenthood thing. And Komen wound up backing down and funding breast cancer screenings at Planned Parenthood again. But at the time of this show, which was February 5th, they hadn't done that yet. And so everyone on the panel was really siding with Planned Parenthood on this. And Chris Hayes made a statement that I wrote about at my blog, Blue Gal, called This is the Culture War. We can't, and I'm going to read from this post I wrote in 2007. None of us can be neutral in the culture war over Planned Parenthood. What we are confronting here is that defending Planned Parenthood on the nice pink issue of breast cancer screening does mean defending Planned Parenthood on the not so pink issues of contraception and, yes, abortion. There is a direct link between the Catholic bishop freakout on health insurance to cover contraception and the Komen brouhaha. It's women, and it's women in a very wake up white women way. We privileged white women with educations and laptops and smartphones and wide access to the Twitter streams of our congressmen can't be neutral or even silent. We can't say, I would never have an abortion, but I don't want to restrict access for anyone else, and then stand aside while state legislatures around the country restrict access for everyone else. Mm-hmm. We can't wear a pink ribbon and attend Estee Lauder-sponsored pink events and say we're doing our part for women's health while being silent about the bullying of Planned Parenthood by the Dallas denizens of Komen. The Komen brand must be taken out, primarily because they are a corporate tool for advertising as pro-women while blindfolding consumers to the environmental and behavioral causes of cancer. And while Komen and Virginia Slims alike would never have enough audacity to put pink ribbons on cigarettes, guess what? They did a pink ad. Yeah. A pink ad that said, I look temptation right in the eye and then I make my own decision. And this woman's right. Wearing pink and, you know, she's all pink. But this takes me to another point in this post, which goes a lot deeper, about the Catholic Church.
Oh, so this is now Bible Bitch. Yeah.
It's Bible Bitch, right? Catholic bishops were freaking out at the same time, at this 2007, about Barack Obama requiring that health insurance, including contraception, be made mm-hmm. available by law, requiring hospitals, Catholic hospitals, to provide insurance for their employees that included contraception coverage.
I remember.
Contraception coverage. Uh-huh. And a whole lot of Catholics who use 90%+ of which use contraception were totally uh-huh. on the side of the Catholic Church on this one. Even though Catholic churches hire Asian doctors, Muslim nurses, you know, people of varying faiths and use their talents in their as employees, you got to follow the Catholic line on contraception when it comes to insurance coverage. And the Catholic bishops lost that one. But here's where I thought about this for a long time and came up with what I thought was a fascinating connection. The Catholic Church and this whole birth control health insurance issue. Melissa Harris Perry is absolutely right. This whole argument is a huge argument for single payer health insurance. Let's get the employers completely out of the picture. The Catholic Church has, since its inception, cast a very wide net for membership, allowing for ethnic and other cultural differences under the big umbrella of Catholicism. Italian and Irish Catholics alike take the same communion. But the bishops have also made a bargain with their female parishioners. Come to church, pay your tithe, and take communion and baptize your kids, and we won't ask about your IUD.
Mm-hmm.
Get married in the church, and we won't ask about premarital sex.
Mm-hmm.
Baptize your kids here, and we won't ask why you only have two. And then they let Newt Gingrich become a member.
Yeah, they did.
They sure did.
And he brought a large bag of jewelry, I believe.
He did. A lot of watches from Tiffany's to the bishops. Yeah. I'm convinced that's where that whole Tiffany's thing came from.
Mm-hmm.
And now who is the ambassador to the Vatican? I mean,
Mrs. Newt Gingrich.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that Gingrich doesn't realize that people can look up what he said 5 years or 5 minutes ago on the internet. Newt has become a Catholic, I believe, because old style Catholicism buys into what he and Republicanism have believed all along, that you may not be perfect, but you are always forgiven,
right,
provided you profess loyalty and devotion to the ideology.
Mm-hmm.
So long as you say you believe in Catholicism or Republicanism, no matter how much you lie or how big a hypocrite you are, the indulgences will come at you fast and easy. And that's where the mainstream media participates in that.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican Party in the 24-hour news cycle that apparently needs Republicans to fill up fair and balanced programming minutes doles out indulgences all the time. That's why compulsive gambler Bill Bennett and Christian right gambling benefactor Ralph Reed can appear on CNN as Republican analysts, and Wolf Blitzer doesn't bat an eye. It's why Newt Gingrich himself is allowed into the green room at This Week on any Sunday morning he likes. It's why, despite his horrible record and extramarital affairs and total hypocrisy, he can wind up as the standard bearer of his party on TV. And notice that John Edwards won't. So apparently, and this is none of my business, you can be a birth control using woman and also a Catholic. But you can no longer be a woman who wants to continue to use birth control and vote Republican. They are after your birth control. And the days of being neutral in the culture war are over. Katha Pollitt wrote this. First, they came for abortion, but I didn't care because abortion was for sluts. Then they came for sex ed, and I didn't care because kids can learn all they need to know at home. Then they came for birth control, but wait a minute, birth control? They're coming for birth control? I need that. For nearly a decade, pro-choicers have been warning that abortion foes were gearing up to go after contraception. But the possibility of losing birth control was too far out for most people to take seriously. And you know, pro-choicers, they're always crying wolf. Well, wake up, sleepyheads. It's happening. And I ended the post by saying, you know, there does seem to be just this desire to be neutral in the culture wars. And you don't get to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
you didn't get to do that in 2007. And if you haven't woken up this week, it's time to wake up. We don't have a choice anymore. And the Republican Party has made it super, super easy to see what side you're on. Both sides don't treat women like broodmares.
Mm-hmm.
But one side does. And it's time to choose. Hello, ladies. It's time to choose.
At a time of choosing, which I believe mm-hmm. is some like Goldwater's book or something, or, mm-hmm. or Jeb Bush's book. I did do a quick look up. And yes, in 2005, your husband and fellow podcaster, partner in podcasting, Drift Class, wrote Republican Simony, about the selling of indulgences, of political indulgences mm-hmm. that lets them off the hook. And the entire history of my adult life, watching politics and participating in politics, has been Republicans doing atrocious things and then being forgiven and forgiving themselves and doing even worse things and then forgiving themselves again. And they just keep buying more indulgences from the party. And sometimes that means putting on a funny hat and pretending that they're Tea Partiers so they can before they can slide back in through the back door. But it's this constant cycle of doing horrible, horrible shit that is absolutely, if you're on paper, Republicans shouldn't be anywhere near any of this mm-hmm. stuff. If you believe for one second, and I never have, all the bullshit that Republicans talk about when they talk about the Republican Party and the good old days of the Republican Party and what conservatism really means, they have never meant a fucking word of it. Because in my entire adult life, I've never done anything to show they believe in a word of it. They believe in using that as protective coloration to put through their actual agenda, which involves massive tax cuts for rich people, deregulating the shit out of everything, kicking the hell out of the poor and the middle class and blaming them for their own plight, and attacking women at every possible turn, using every lever at their disposal. And because all of those things will always lead to catastrophic system failure, once the system fails, they forgive themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They rinse themselves in the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Holy Lamb, and they come right back out and say, and you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm saved.
Right. I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. I'm an independent. Yep.
That cycle needs to be broken, mm-hmm. not interrupted, not postponed. I keep running into people who want me to just get off the back of the Never Trumpers, you know, just stop bothering them. First of all, I don't bother them at all. They have massive media platforms and they have best-selling novels and books and stuff. And I'm a blogger and a podcaster out in the middle of the Midwest. They don't even notice me. But what bothers me is this incessant, ridiculous, childish, liberal sensibility that if we just throw ourselves at them like drunk prom dates, because they gave us the slightest indication that they don't think we're traitors this time, then we should forgive them everything. And then we'll catch up with all the bad stuff next time. But for now, let's just try. And it's always this way. They always use us. They always dump us. And they always go back to the crazy party that gives them wealth and prosperity and their physical identity or their political identity. They always do this. They've been doing this for decades. And we keep making the mistake of, after Clinton was hunted like a dog by Republicans, we're definitely not going to, oh, I guess we're going to let George Bush. Okay, well, that's fine. Well, George Bush fucked it. We're definitely not going to let them off. Oh, we're going to let them off the hook again. Okay. Because they're calling themselves Tea Parties. Well, after 8 years of racism and birtherism and attacking Barack Obama, we're going to let them off the hook again. Okay. And I'm done with that. I'm not done forgiving people. I'm done forgiving people who absolutely refuse to acknowledge they ever did anything wrong while their hands are bloody and their clothes are soaked with the gasoline they have used to burn down our institutions, and who want to plead either complete ignorance of anything that happened before yesterday or that it wasn't them, that they're somehow that it was somehow some other Republican Party and a bunch of other people running the Republican Party and a bunch of other media people and some other alternate universe that did all this shit. It wasn't them. But it was them. They did this. And if they would like to be forgiven and taken into the bosom of the sane party, I have no problem with that. But stop ripping off the liberal critique of your party and pretending you invented it. Stop pretending that you didn't know that your party was a dung heap of bigots and imbeciles. I knew this shit when I was in my 20s. You people are fucking professionals. If you didn't notice this until yesterday, then you are 100% incapable of doing a job in the media where anyone would trust you.
Can we bring up at this point also Elizabeth Warren's courage and bravery and leadership at saying no to a Fox News town hall?
Yes.
And her Twitter stream her thread of why is very succinct. Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, Fox News is a hate-for-profit racket. And that is really catching on. I have been shocked at how quickly that caught on. There was a void within the Democratic base of someone saying that about Fox News, that it just caught on like wildfire. It is a hate-for-profit racket. It gives a megaphone to racists and conspiracists. It's designed to turn us against each other, risking life and death consequences to provide cover for the corruption that's rotting our government and hollowing out our middle class.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, the reason it works is only if there's profit. So Fox News balances a mix of bigotry, racism, and outright lies with enough legit journalism to make the claim to advertisers that it's a reputable news outlet. Uh-huh. It's all about dragging in big ad money. Fox News is struggling as more and more advertisers pull out of their hate-filled space. A Democratic town hall gives the Fox News sales team a way to tell potential sponsors it's safe to buy ads on Fox. Mm-hmm. No harm to their brand or reputation. Spoiler, it's not. Here is one place where we can fight back. I won't ask millions of Democratic primary voters. Notice who she's talking to.
She's talking
to Democratic primary voters.
Yep.
To tune in to an outlet that profits from racism and hate in order to see our candidates. Especially when Fox will make even more money adding our valuable audience to their ratings numbers.
That's right.
So then she talks about, I've done 131 interviews. I've done 57 media availabilities. I've taken thousands of questions from the press since January. Fox News can come to any of my events. They can come and cover them. Mm-hmm. But a Fox News town hall adds money to the hate-for-profit machine. To which I say hard pass.
Well,
that's leadership. That is leadership and filling this vacuum that Democratic primary voters have been hungry to hear.
And this is how I know I'm being lied to by Never Trumpers. I wrote this today. Mm-hmm. The reaction to Elizabeth Warren saying that, no, a big pile of poison with a thin icing of legitimate news
right.
does not represent a network that wants me to have healthy food. It represents a network that wants to poison me mm-hmm. and make it just sweet enough that I'll swallow it.
Right.
And I'm not going to play along with it. It, you know, the source of evil in the modern world is Fox News and hate radio. And I'm not going to play their game. And Rick Tyler, you know Rick Tyler, he's on MSNBC all the time. Uh-huh. He's a former Republican who's just very disturbed by his party.
But I bet he's shaking his fingers at Elizabeth Warren right now.
He was shaking his fingers. And there's two Ricks involved in this, so I'll tell you about both of them. The first one was Rick Tyler, any Democratic candidate who refuses to appear on Fox News does not understand the Obama voter who voted for Trump and therefore has no strategy to win them back and no ability to win in the general election. You may leave the stage. That's Rick Tyler scolding Elizabeth Warren for pointing out that Rick Tyler and his whole Republican Party is chin deep in racism and bullshit, mm-hmm. which is something that Rick Tyler does not fucking want to talk about.
Right.
He'll talk about anything else, but I forget which ones he worked for. I think he worked for Ted Cruz.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
These are just all loathsome little lizard people who have found themselves temporarily divested of a home in the Republican Party and want to crawl into the Democratic Party and tell us how to run our shit. Go away. Well, Rick Wilson, you know Rick Wilson, bestseller Rick Wilson, his response was, yup, you don't have to love them, but you do have to understand there are 90 million households.
Uh-huh.
They're not actually in, they're in 90 million households, but that number is a marketing term that Fox News marketers use to sell advertising.
Yeah, they're in our household. It's true. That doesn't mean we watch them or believe them.
It means that Roger Ailes rigged the deal to get them as part of the basic cable package. The actual number of people who actually watch Fox News on any given day is 2 to 3 million people. That's it. And those are the same, and they're the same meatheads who watch the same bullshit over and over and over again. And these are the same people, by the way, these slack-jawed drooling idiots who watch Fox News, the actual core audience, are the same people that Rick Wilson made a living by feeding them toxic bullshit for 20 years as a Republican operative. And now he's making a living mocking them for being slack-jawed idiots who are dumb enough to believe someone like Rick Wilson. So I gave Rick Wilson an assignment. I told him, you know, remember that couple, the fuck your feelings couple?
Mm-hmm.
The smiling, happy Trump rally. I told Rick that I'm putting him personally in charge of convincing these two meatheads of the error of their ways.
Yep.
That's your job, Rick. See, here's the thing. This is your fucking mess. You made this fucking mess, and now I'm officially making it your fucking problem. So why don't you get on your little magic carpet, the one you used to brainwash these idiots for the last 20 years to begin with, because they're not going to listen to me. Because according to them, I'm a dirty commie, terrorist-loving, gun-grabbing, baby-killing race traitor. And the reason they think I'm a dirty commie, terrorist, gun-loving, grabbing, baby-killing race traitor is because you told them that I was.
Over and over again.
Over and over and over again. That's how you put a roof over your head, Rick. That's how you fed your fucking family, Rick, by giving these people toxic waste to eat for 20 years. And now you've created a monster. So this is your fucking problem. So here, Rick, your job now is to go to these two idiots and convince them to vote for the Democratic nominee.
And Driftglass, I want to interrupt you just to get you on another rant.
Yes, my dear.
Which is moving the goalposts.
Uh-huh.
Elizabeth Warren tweeted today, or yesterday, excuse me, I won't do a town hall with Fox News because I won't invite millions of Democratic primary voters to tune in, inflate ratings, and help sell ads for an outlet that profits from racism and hate.
Mm-hmm.
And Congressman Dan Crenshaw, who you remember.
Yes.
He's got the eye patch as the vet and, mm-hmm. Was on Saturday Night Live. You should remember who he is. Yep, okay. He replied to Elizabeth Warren, why do you have such contempt for half of America?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Fox News audience is less than 2% of America.
Well, I think
which
I think when he lost his eye, he lost his depth perception.
Stop. That's terrible. You're a bad person.
I'm a bad person. When have I ever said I'm anything other than, look, honey, I'm a dirty, commie, baby-killing, gun-grabbing lunatic. Just ask Rick Wilson. I mean, I put a roof over that fucker's head. I put food on his table.
Moving the goalposts to say we get 50% of the time on television, we get 50%, really we want 70. And they really have a talent for mesmerizing the mainstream media and insisting on half the argument that we're going to have half the CNN panel and so forth. When, especially on abortion, you know, these far right-wing nut job Republican legislators don't even represent 20% of the American people. Don't even represent Alabama, to be honest.
Right.
Alabamian. I lived in Alabama for 12 years.
You did. And you got out.
Alabamians do not want a 12-year-old who has been raped by her father to be forced to carry the baby to term. They don't. They aren't that nuts overall. There are some. And of course, those some wind up getting elected to the state legislature.
Well, there you go.
So and that's their fault. That is Republicans. That is Alabama's fault that they elect these nut jobs. But, you know, the vast majority, polls differ a little bit, but it's always under 30% of people wanting any kind of touching Roe v. Wade. Just leave it alone. It's what the vast majority of people want. 70% of women 18 to 44, 75% of women, 80% of Democrats. It's overwhelmingly just leave it the way it is. So,
And there are some lessons, I think, long-term lessons that we can learn from what happened this week in Alabama.
Yeah.
That the patient capital, you know, that's the capital you invest over a long period of time. The patient capital of theocracy and fascism works.
Yeah.
That they just kept, you know, the worst people in this country just keep pouring money into the worst causes in this country endlessly. And they never give up. They never give up. These people, and they find raw recruits. They find fanatics to stand on corners. They will protest a family planning clinic in the middle of nowhere, even if it's four people holding a sign. They found the fanatics, and they gave them money, and they gave them a platform. And what you have to understand is they are never going to give up, and that trying to negotiate with them or compromise with them is doomed to fail. The reason I know this is because we've tried it already. Many, many, many times we've tried to negotiate with the right many times on many issues, and their answer is always, fuck you. Go back to 1994, Newt Gingrich and Rush Limbaugh winning the House of Representatives, and there's a wonderful article in the New York Times at the time. This is a quarter century ago, and Rush Limbaugh telling the new Republicans who took over the House, don't compromise, never compromise. People are going to want you to compromise. Don't do it. And these people are all very proud that there was not a single feminazi among them.
Yeah.
That language and that mentality has been around for decades. And so we can judge what the Republican Party is likely to do next by what they have already done. And what they have already done is always take, never give. And whenever you lose, never admit it, and attack, attack, attack all the time. When Barack Obama was elected president, you know, and it was hope and change and purple states, and we're going to reach out to our brothers and sisters across the aisle. It was fuck that. Give him nothing. Sabotage all the time, obstruct all the time, and then run against him as a tyrant whenever he tries to do anything, and then nominate the king of the birthers.
Right.
So it's very clear that the problem with this country is the Republican Party. And the Republican Party is made up of individual Republicans who sometimes may be your friends and might be your neighbors and might be your relatives. They're the problem, and they will never stop being this way until they are forced to stop being this way. And that there's no alternative. There's no compromise possible anymore. And the third thing is Donald Trump will deliver.
Oh, yeah.
Donald Trump promised he would get rid of Roe versus Wade, and he put lunatics on the Supreme Court, and by God, he did.
Well, we'll see what happens at the Supreme Court. I'm going to be really interested in how John Roberts treats this during an election year. Because of all the people on the court and in public life, frankly, he is the one who understands how radicalizing this is for the other side. Yeah. And we all know why the Republicans lost 40 seats in the House.
Yes, we do.
Last November. It's because a whole lot of mothers got radicalized by the fact that people were going to people in the Republican Party. This is not both sides. This is one party decided to vote to take away health insurance. Mm-hmm. They tried to do it. They did it in public. They tried to do it in public. And it was John McCain's thumb that prevented us from losing our health insurance.
And they did it 57 times. They did it out and proud in public. They were thrilled by it. And when they finally thought they'd won, they had a beer party in the Rose Garden and celebrated taking away health insurance from 30 or 40 million Americans. And the whip for that vote, the floor counter for that vote, was our very own Rodney Davis.
Rodney Davis, our congressman, who then in November pleaded with the voters to say, I'm so for covering pre-existing conditions, you just can't believe it.
I love pre-existing conditions. I have a baby. I'm naming pre-existing condition. And he's my little...
Yeah.
No. And here's the mistake that our candidate made last time. Mm-hmm. And I hope they won't make the same mistake this time. They did not go out among the rural voters and talk to them about issues that mean something to them. But now that our local soybean farmers are getting screwed by Donald Trump and his tariffs, I sincerely hope I'm giving a big hint to the campaign staff for Betsy Dirksen Lonergan. Get some people who can actually speak to farmers and to rural voters. Send them away from the city, out into the countryside, and talk to people who own tractors about why they decided to give their vote to a guy who turned around and screwed them. And maybe that wasn't such a smart thing to do. And you know what? Every time you put a Republican in Congress, you put a vote in Donald Trump's pocket.
Yep.
And so why are you going to vote for a Republican when you know exactly what he's going to do? He's going to screw you. He's going to screw your family. He's going to take from you and give to the rich, because that's all the son of a bitch has ever done.
Let's just point out that I thought Jerry Nadler ran out of fucks last week, but then he had an interview this week with John Harwood. John Harwood was trying to play devil's advocate and say, well, you know, Bill Barr says, and Jerry Nadler said, yeah, Bill Barr is a liar. So that you keep losing those fucks, Jerry Nadler. We appreciate it.
Yeah. If you go into deficit over those, that's fine. We're okay. We'll cover that.
We are not going to lend you any fucks. We're all out here too.
Well, and I did want to mention that locally, the editor of our local paper, which is a Republican-leaning paper and has done a lot of things I think are just deplorable and silly and foolish and wildly unbalanced in the name of appeasing a shrinking subscriber base of right-wing conservative people, very bravely walked off the job.
Yep.
She quit in the hopes of – because this paper has been going down the toilet for years. It was sold to Gatehouse Media, which is, you probably know, or you might know, is one of those large media ownership corporations that likes to consolidate things and cut things and streamline things and essentially gut the entire newspaper until it's down to two people and a laptop and a camera, which is exactly what they've been doing. So they've been cutting and cutting and cutting. Our newspaper is now the size literally of a twig. It's a little tiny rolled up dowel that appears on our porch once a day. Still, some little atavistic part of me feels the need to support my local newspaper, even if I disagree with it.
Yep.
Even if it shrinks down to microscopic size.
No, I think that's true. Yeah.
It's just, because once it's gone, that's it.
Yeah.
But they don't cover the State House the way they're supposed to. They don't cover or hardly at all. I mean, we live in the state capitol, and there's almost no news at all about what's going on inside of our government.
It's AP stories.
Sports, obits, and weddings.
And press releases from the Chamber of Commerce. Really, the headline is a new brew pub opening. And that is above the fold, page one, headline story. New brew pub opening in Springfield.
Now, you know who's doing really well?
Yeah.
The Illinois Policy Institute. They have their own building. They have their own staff. Yep. They have a budget of 60.
They are, in case we have new listeners.
They're the right-wing policy white paper press release generating place. That they're over on, I think, 2nd Avenue. Mm-hmm. They have their own building. And they crank out bullshit libertarian right-wing white papers on everything.
Yeah.
Because – and they have like a $6 to $7 million budget a year.
Yeah.
Because rich people, rich conservatives are willing to pour a shit ton of money into places like that,
which is legal because of Citizens United and because we have this problem of consolidated wealth. Yeah.
And so when your newspaper has nothing else to run because there are no more reporters left, you just grab a press release from the Illinois Policy Institute and stick on the back page. You know, just fill it up. And what they're doing is generating free content for newspapers that are being gutted by other conservatives. And so what you have, and so she walked off the job, quit, and in order to save other people's jobs, thinking her salary could go to.
That's not going to save anybody's job, but she made a very good point and got a lot of attention for it.
She did. And it was written up locally, but it was a real, that is a bomb that went off in among our in the little local ecosystem here. Because she has been so straddling so hard to try to just pretend that everything was okay. She's the mom, you know, in the hurricane with the kids, telling them everything's going to be fine, knowing it's not going to be fine. It's not going to be fine. Things are bad. The floodwaters are rising, but just trying to keep everybody together, and doing trying to do a really good job, a really hard job, a job that takes 24/7. And she's someone I run into at the grocery store. I know her personally. So she's not someone from someplace else.
Right.
She lives in this community and cares deeply about it. And without having another job lined up, she quit hoping that her salary could help defray the cost of other people's layoffs. Yep. And I think that's a mighty noble thing to do, even if I disagree with the direction the paper is headed and some of her editorial decisions. Those are secondary to an act of bravery,
right,
which I salute a great deal. But that's the state of our media. In a microcosm, it's been sweated down, whittled down, and denuded and gutted to the point where it's just hanging on by a thread. And it's being supplanted by well-funded, right-wing chop shops that just crank out shit all day long, because there's always money for some third-tier hack. By the way, who funds the Federalist?
Hey, your class, it's time for a news roundup.
And now on to the news roundup, where Michael Cohen helped bury compromising photos of Jerry Falwell Jr. shortly before Falwell endorsed Trump in 2016. The Falwells wanted to prevent, quote, a bunch of photographs, personal photographs, from becoming public. Michael Cohen said during a recorded phone call with the actor Tom Arnold, "I actually have one of the photos." Cohen claimed, "It's terrible." I mean,
it's terrible.
As if there were good photos of the Falwells anywhere on this earth.
Well, and how interesting that Jerry Falwell also apparently gave $1.6 million to his pool boy to start a business.
Yeah, it's
all bad.
Yeah. And well, we're going to get to the NRA in a few minutes. So, it turns out everyone on that side is a corrupt, creepy sexual predator lying douchebag. So who could have predicted and make paper over it with a Bible? So, but up next.
Speaking of papering it over with the Bible, last week, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp signed the state's fetal heartbeat bill. Georgia's so-called heartbeat bill would become one of the most restrictive anti-abortion access laws in the country until Alabama said, "Hold my Bible," by passing a near total abortion ban with no exceptions, even for cases that involve rape or incest.
Mm-hmm.
As I said before, and I'll say again, thank you, Republican Party, for radicalizing middle class white women.
Yeah, because every now and then they forget how shitty you are. So you got to remind them every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And not wanting to be laughed out of the next meeting of the He-Man Woman Haters Club, the Missouri Senate, you know, our next door neighbors here, passed a bill to ban abortions at 8 weeks. Senators in Missouri approved legislation 24-10, because that's just how they roll. And now it needs at least one more vote of approval in the GOP-led House before it can go to the Republican Governor Mike Parson, who said he will support the bill.
They're in a race to get to the Supreme Court is what they're in a race to do.
They're in the race to get to the Middle Ages. And you know what? I think at this moment, Alabama is leading, but only by a hair.
Only by a hair. A farmer who voted for Trump was on CNN this week saying he'll never vote for him again, as his family is set to lose $150,000 in Trump's China trade war. "This is survival at this point," he said. "I mean, for a lot of operations, it is a survival thing," Iowa farmer Robert Ewald said.
You know, if Robert Ewald wants to make a quick 150 grand from Donald Trump, all he has to do is go to a hotel room with him, fuck him, and then blackmail him during an election. That's all you have to do, Robert. And of course, you knew that before the election, right? I mean, you weren't stupid enough not to know this. So this isn't coming as some big surprise that Donald Trump is a corrupt, lying douchebag. But apparently news travels slowly to Iowa. It's apparently only 1977 there, and they're just catching up on things. So good for you, Robert. I appreciate the fact that you're catching on to what we've been saying about Republicans for the last 30 years. Hopefully, once the check clears, your memory will still stay intact, and you'll really actually stop voting for people like Donald Trump. Of course, what this means to me, he said cynically, is that Robert will become an independent, and then shortly thereafter will swing back to the polls and vote for, I don't know, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, just a piece of dog shit with a wig on it, anyone the Republicans run, because, you know, once you're in for life, Robert.
I'm an independent.
I'm an independent. Nobody ever gets tired of us saying, Donald Trump pardoned his billionaire friend Conrad Black, who wrote a book about him. Black was convicted in 2007 on fraud charges, including alleged embezzlement and obstruction of justice. Now, I included this for our local readers and listeners, because if you're wondering, where have I heard that name Conrad Black before? This is from Roger Feeder's column in the Sun-Times today. The headline is, Pardons Can't Excuse Conrad Black's Crimes Against the Sun-Times. Aha. The revered film critic Roger Ebert spoke for all of us who worked at the Chicago Sun-Times when he stood up to Conrad Black, the Canadian-born press baron who owned the paper for 10 years before he was charged with looting the company and defrauding investors. Oh, that guy. You can imagine my dismay when I read auditors' reports indicating the company was run as a kleptocracy, and that between you, you allegedly pocketed 97% of Hollinger's profits, Ebert wrote in an open letter to Black and his partners in crime, publisher David Radler, in 2004. This while the escalators in the building were actually turned off to save electricity and maintenance. It's hard to believe that the departing millions were not somehow related to the compensation levels at the Sun-Times, since management pleaded poverty in its negotiations. So if you're wondering why so many papers in this country are going out of business, part is because of Google, part's because of analytics, part is competition from the internet, part is Facebook, and I'm not going to deny any of those, but a big part of it are media barons who took over the paper, looted the place, gutted them for everything they could get, and then left them to die, which is why you don't have any local news coverage anymore in a lot of parts in this country.
Trump's Doral Resort is in deep trouble, according to company documents showing his business problems are mounting. Eric Trump said the resort was on fire, but the company later said profitability was down 69%. In addition, Trump Tower is now one of the least desirable luxury buildings in New York City. Most condo owners who sold the property since 2016 have recorded a loss. No one wants in that building, said one former owner.
The Trump administration rejected Congress's demands for records and staff testimony, saying the investigation amounted to an unauthorized do-over of the Mueller investigation.
All non-essential staff are being evacuated from the U.S. Embassy in Iraq as the U.S. continues to threaten Iran.
Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis now admits that Russians did in fact hack voting databases in two Florida counties. You might remember the Republicans called anyone who suggested the Russians were doing anything of this kind liars and lunatics during the 2016 election.
That's what we call an uh-oh.
Uh-oh, I guess we were wrong. Words you will never hear coming out of anyone except an Iowa farmer's mouth.
Yes, and Republicans cheat at elections. Let's not
all
forget.
The time.
Rat-fucking the whole thing. They've been doing it my entire adult life. The White House asked Don McGahn to declare that Trump never obstructed justice.
Yes. And as part of the Be Best movement, I guess, the White House will not sign on to an international agreement to combat online extremism because the White House is the home of the worst online extremist in the world.
Just days after both countries raised hopes of a deal, Donald Trump and Xi Jinping escalated their tariff war, causing global stocks to fall. And now the Trump administration is preparing to slap tariffs on all remaining Chinese imports, which could add levies on roughly $300 billion in additional goods. And Walmart has announced that they're going to have to raise prices because of that. So
No, that's not true. That can't be true because Americans don't pay the cost of tariffs. That's news. China pays that.
No.
China pays that. See,
Walmart shoppers pay that. Yeah.
This is a tax on stupidity.
Yep.
Really. This is a tax on being dumb enough to vote for this asshole. that now you get to have your farm taken away from you. Now you get to have your health care taken away from you. Now, when you're a child or your wife gets pregnant through whatever means and you don't want to keep the pregnancy, if you live in the Confederacy, you're going to have to spend that money you got from selling your farm to go to a state that lives in the 21st century instead of the 11th century so they can get the medical care they need. This is the penalty for voting for Donald Trump. And I'm firmly convinced that we need to make the pain of voting for Donald Trump so severe that during the next election cycle, they can't all put on funny hats and pretend they'd never heard of the guy. I don't know of any other way to cure this country of Republicanism other than to make the shame and pain of it so unbearable that no one will ever consider it again. Speaking of shame and pain, leaked letters reveal the details of NRA chief Wayne LaPierre's alleged spending. The National Rifle Association CEO Wayne LaPierre billed the group's ad agency $39,000 for one day of shopping at Beverly Hills clothing boutique, $18,300 for a car and driver in Europe, and had the agency cover $13,800 in rent for a summer intern. Apparently renting summer interns is a little pricier. Is a little pricier than I was aware of. So
Trump praised Hungary's authoritarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban and called him highly respected. Probably like me, a little controversial, but that's okay, Trump said, because you've done a good job and have kept your country safe. And of course, a little bit controversial is code for anti-Semite. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Donald Trump's only friends are criminals, suck-ups.
And authoritarian dictators.
And authoritarians. Yeah. That's it. That is the Republican Party. He is a walking, talking advertisement for what's going on inside the Republican id. The Republicans, the White House is now whining that House Democrats were not following, quote, rules and norms of subpoenas and investigations. Because remember, everyone, history began on January 20th, 2019.
Benghazi, 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 Benghazi.
Mm-hmm.
The Pentagon will pull money from its ballistic missile and surveillance plane programs in order to fund Trump's border wall. The Defense Department under Trump intends to reprogram $2.5 billion that was originally designated by Congress for other projects.
Hmm. Now, is this the Mexican Pentagon that's going to
pull
money
from? Yeah, the Mexican Pentagon. Sure.
Because I remember something, something, Mexico, something, pay for something.
Mm-hmm.
I might be the only person in America who remembers that.
No, you're not.
But it is that if you're looking for, there's a lot of things that you and I keep track of in the news and sort of trends and bellwethers of various traits. If you are not capable of devoting that bandwidth to that number of issues, and really who among us is except those of us who do this every day, keep track of how quickly all of your Republican friends have gotten the Mexico will pay for it part of the chant that they were chanting all during 2015 and all during 2016 to the point where it made the rest of us sick. That simply has disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
It never happened. No one ever said anything. And anyone who says, wait a minute, what the fuck? How is the Pentagon paying for some shit you said in Mexico? No, you're not even allowed within 1,000 miles of Fox News to even whisper such things.
Well, so, and Trump promised basically FDR policies. He was going to never touch Social Security and Medicare.
Ever.
We're all going to have fantastic health care at the fraction of the cost of Obamacare. And he was never going to touch anything that would help seniors or vets.
No.
So
those are all perfectly valid points, and I agree with every one of them. No one ever chanted, we're going to get great health care at a fraction of the cost, and it's going to – at rallies. But Mexico will pay for it.
That was something that came out of their mouth. Right. Right.
That is something dumb enough and easy enough to remember that even a Republican can remember to chant it at a rally.
Right.
And so but it tracks across everything else Donald Trump promised. Now, the one thing Donald Trump did promise that he delivered on was, I will get rid of Roe versus Wade.
Yep.
I will put fuck nut lunatics. Thank you, Mitch McConnell, for stealing the Supreme Court seat. I will put right wing lunatics on the Supreme Court because, let's face it, the Senate is now in my pocket. They live in my ass crack. And we'll get rid of Roe versus Wade. And that'll make all the morons out there happy and they'll vote for me. And he delivered on that. He put awful people on the Supreme Court. He bulldozed them right in. Thanks to Mitch McConnell driving the getaway car. And now Roe versus Wade is hanging by a thread. And you and I could live to see it rolled back across the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
Completely rolled back. You and I could live to see gay marriage rolled
back
across
the entire country. That's right. I mentioned that on Twitter.
And
if you think that they're going to stop at abortion, forget it.
Well, you can never stop.
No, this is the Taliban, the Christian Taliban.
Because you always need an external enemy to blame for all of the shit that your creepy cult is doing or failing to do. The all the shit that Republicans break and destroy. So they always need an enemy, and they always need someone to legislate against that enemy. So the enemy right now are women with vaginas. And so we have to go after them, and or Mexicans or liberals or Democrats or Muslims. But they will always need an enemy, and they will always go one step further. And they would never get away with it if it weren't for the fact that every time they take a giant leap to the right, the entire Beltway media scuttles along behind them to the halfway point and says, here's the new center. Here's where reasonable people should meet to discuss things. And it's a trick that the right has learned that the left has not caught on to yet or doesn't know how to replicate. And that is a tragedy. Finally, before Trump's purge of the Department of Homeland Security, several top officials there challenged his plan to carry out mass family arrests.
He was planning on mass family arrests of undocumented immigrants in major cities around the country. He thought that was a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's no one in the White House who doesn't think it's a great idea anymore.
Not anymore. He fired them all. Yeah.
Maybe that kid who with the lawnmower he's always screaming at in the memes thought it was a bad idea, but he's not there anymore.
Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Ray the Fish, youngest child, used her own money and went out and got a fish, a man of war, little blue fish. It's blue. Ray the Fish does not eat freshly poured cat food, but if he was a cat, he sure would. Whether you buy Pet Store Perfection or Dollar Store Dreck, your cat will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the cat food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. And don't forget, this month, every freshly poured order comes with a week's supply of every kitty's favorite beverage, tub water. It's water from our bathtub. At least that's what we're required to say by the health department. Yeah,
the FDA requires us to say that. I'm pretty sure Ray the Fish likes tub water. I haven't really sat down with him and had a heart to heart, but I'm pretty sure he's cool with tub water.
I think he has to have his water conditioned and saved and set aside. And good Lord, I've killed more fish in more pet fish in my lifetime than I care to admit. Anyway, we are hoping for the best in terms of Ray's survival, and you can visit Ray the Fish at our Facebook page and website. You can send your internet kitty or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service, Go Postal Unions, letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job. And seriously, we don't get a paycheck unless you support the show. So thank you for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Our PayPal, postal address, Patreon, all that information is there at proleftpod.com. Please share our show on social media, and we thank you so much for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
Oh, Blue Gal, the internet kitties are petitioning Donald Trump for a pardon for the huge Conrad Black they just did on the carpet.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2018, DGBG Productions Incorporated.